Good evening, everyone. Wasn't the band awesome tonight? Absolutely phenomenal. I particularly like the synthetics on the keyboard. I was almost going to cut some shapes, but I just held myself back. A few months ago, my wife Esther and I were around my mum and dad's house for tea, and my dad decided to play a word game. It was really exciting. You're all welcome round. He said, "Here's a word, reconciled. How many words can you make out of the word reconciled?" So everyone went round and played this game. And my mum's pretty clever. She got like 15 words out of the word reconciled. My dad was cheating, so he got about 25. And my wife, Esther, she's really clever. She got about 30 without even cheating. I got about 6, I think. And my dad said to Esther, "Is there anything you're not good at?" She said, "Oh yeah, I'm terrible at geography." I thought, all right then, smarty pants. How many words can you make out of Australia? Because I'm really clever. Tonight I want to speak about the validity of Jesus' testimony from John chapter 8. I just want to read it out to you. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." The Pharisees challenged him. "Here you are, appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid." Jesus answered, "Even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid. For I know where I came from and where I am going. But you have no idea where I come from or where I am going. You judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one. But if I do judge, my decisions are right, because I am not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me. In your own law, it is written that the testimony of two men is valid. I am one who testifies for myself. My other witness is the Father who sent me." Then they asked him, "Where is your Father?" "You do not know me or my Father," Jesus replied. "If you knew me, you would know my Father also." He spoke these words while teaching in the temple area near the place where the offerings were put, yet no one seized him because his time had not yet come. Once more, Jesus said to them, "I am going away, and you will look for me, and you will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come." This made the Jews ask, "Will he kill himself? Is that why he says, 'Where I go, you cannot come'?" But he continued, "You are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins. If you do not believe that I am the one I claim to be, you will indeed die in your sins." "Who are you?" they asked. "Just what I have been claiming all along," Jesus replied. "I have much to say in judgment of you, but he who sent me is reliable, and what I have heard from him I tell the world." They did not understand that he was telling them about his Father. So Jesus said, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am the one I claim to be, and that I do nothing on my own, but just what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him." Even as he spoke, people put their faith in him. You know, if you go to a court of law or something like that, and, you know, there's two different parties, one's, you know, saying something, the other party's saying the opposite. If one person has no witnesses and the other person has many witnesses, they're the ones who are gonna win, because one has no witnesses and the other party has many witnesses. But Jesus is someone who stands for himself. His witness is the Father, and every single word he speaks is absolute truth, and we must believe it. I don't know if you noticed in that passage of scripture there that I read, 3 times Jesus says, "You will die in your sins." He tells the Pharisees, you know, "You will die in your sins. Did I tell you that you will die in your sins? If you don't believe I'm the one I claim to be, you will indeed die in your sins." 3 times he says that. Now that, I mean, if Jesus says anything, it's we must listen. But when he says it 3 times in such a short space like that, It's absolutely crucial. And you know, dying in our sins is something we just cannot afford to do. Absolutely no, we do not want to die in our sins. You know, every single one of us is guilty of sin of some sort, whether it be seem terrible or whether it just be a little tiny sin. It doesn't really matter. We're all guilty of breaking them all. It says in the Bible, if we break one law, we're guilty of having broken them all. You know, one day, each and every single one of us are going to stand at the feet of Jesus and we're going to have to give an account of our life. It says that books will be opened. Books will be opened. Every single thing that you or I have ever thought, said, done, good and bad, is written down. Someone up there now is writing these things, writing everything down, who sees all things, who knows all things. He's writing it all down. And one day we'll be at the feet of Jesus and the books will be opened of your life and of my life. And there's no hiding. There's no hiding anything. We can hide it from ourselves or try to and hide things from each other. But there's no hiding anything from God who sees everything. When he brings up that web history of our life, and you might think, oh, I've deleted my browsing history. But don't worry, it's okay, Jesus says. I'm very good on computers. I have a special way of bringing up all that history of our whole life, and it's there before us, bang, in black and white. We all stand in one place and one place only, absolutely guilty before God of sin. Whether it be a tiny little thing or a massive thing, doesn't matter. We're all in the same boat. And there's only one wage to sin, which it says in the Bible is death. The wages of sin is death. You know, you see sometimes on these movies, or still sometimes it happens when people are hung, they raise up a platform high above the ground and tie a noose around somebody's neck with a little bit of slack on it. And then what happens is they just pull a lever and the floor just opens up and they fall through the floor, bang, and they're dead. The noose kills them. That's where each and every one of us tonight stands if we die in our sin. We have a noose around our neck, and any time God wants to, he can pull that lever and pull the floor out of this life for us, and we're gone, bang. Dead in our sin. I don't know about you, but that scares me. That should absolutely scare you. And we rightly deserve that. We deserve it. You know, you might think you have your life in your hands, but it's not in your hands. It's in God's hands and God's hands only. He brought you into this world. He can take you out whenever he wants. And if you die in your sin, you die two deaths. You fall through the floor of this world and hit the noose, which is ultimately hell for all eternity, if you die in your sins. I don't know about you, but I do not want to do that. I'm not, because I put my faith in Jesus Christ many years ago. I used to be in the army, and I was in the Red Devil skydiving display team for a few years. And I had a great life in the world's eyes. I had loads of money. I had an awesome job. I was traveling the world. I was skydiving, jumping out of aeroplanes, and all different types of aircraft in America, at night, into water. I was teaching it. I had loads of money, parties, everything. Some people ask me, why did you leave it? Why did you leave it all behind? And the truth is, I left it all behind because I was in my sin. If I was going to die, I would have died in my sin. I had that noose around my neck. I could have played it cool. I could have played the cool guy. And I did. Oh, yeah, I'm awesome. Look at me. I have loads of money. I'm doing all this awesome stuff. But I was absolutely dicing with death. I might have looked cool on the outside, but spiritually, I had that noose around my neck. And if I was going to go, I'd have died and went to hell. Because I was in my sin. And that's where people go who die in their sin. You know, you might think eternity is just some way. You might think your death is way off in the future. you're many years away, it's just when I'm old. Maybe then I might believe in Jesus, when I'm old and just about to die. But actually, someone once said, eternity isn't miles away in the future. It's just a very, very short step to the left or to the right. We walk alongside eternity every day, and at any moment you can cross over into it. At any moment. I walked to church this morning, and on one side of the road it was light and sunny, and then I just walked a few steps across to the other side of the road, and it was dark. Just a few steps, lightness and darkness. And it's exactly the same spiritually. It just takes a few steps. It's all it takes. I'm going to give you an opportunity tonight to make a few steps of faith for yourself, to come out of your seat and to come and stand down at the front. And by doing that, you'll be saying, I want life. I want Jesus. I want him to remove my sin. I want to be forgiven. I want to put my faith in him. I want to believe in him. Just a few steps, or the biggest few steps you'll ever take in your life. You know, it said there, Jesus said, you will die in your sins if you don't believe I'm the one I claim to be. So if you think about that, if you don't believe he's the one he claims to be, you'll die in your sins. So if I do believe he says he's the one he claims to be, then I won't die in my sins. If you do believe that Jesus Christ is the one he claims to be, you will not die in your sins. Does that sound better? That sounds a lot better to me. Who did he say he was? He said what he's been claiming all along, the Son of God. That's who Jesus is. He's the Son of the Most High God. He's God himself, God in the flesh, God becoming man. That's who he is. And if you believe that, you won't die in your sins. He also said in there, when you've lifted up the Son of Man, another word for Jesus is of himself, he's the Son of Man. He said, when you've lifted up the Son of Man, he's talking about the cross. When you've lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I'm the one I claim to be. So we have to look at the cross of Jesus. What happened on the cross? Why did he do it? Why did he die? Why did the Father make that happen for him? When they lifted up Jesus on the cross, what happened was he took the noose off of our neck and placed it on himself. All the punishment that you and I deserve for our sin, he took it upon himself. All the horrific things that ever happen in this world, all the rape, the murders, the paedophiles, all the terrible things that anyone's ever done, and all the terrible things that you and I have ever done, Jesus took it all upon himself on the cross. He became our sin. It's a supernatural thing. We can't fully comprehend it logically. It's supernatural. He became our sin. He became every single sin of every single person that's ever lived and that will ever live. He became every single sin that you've ever committed. He became every single sin that I've ever committed and will ever commit. He took it all upon himself and took that full punishment that we deserve. He laid his life down for you, and he laid his life down for me. Greater love has no man than that, lays life down for his friends. There's a true story of a couple of years ago in a cinema in America, in Colorado, where a gunman comes into the cinema watching Batman or something like that. You may remember it a couple of years ago. Some guy comes into the cinema and throws tear gas into the crowd, and everyone's watching this film. And he throws his tear gas in and then just starts just letting off a fuselage of bullets into all the people who are sat there watching this film. It's absolutely horrific. He apparently used many weapons, different weapons, and reloading and just killing people in the cinema. 12 people died, 80 people were injured. But among that was three guys who were real heroes. One was called Matt McQuinn. One was called Jonathan Blunt. And another one was called Alex something or other. And they were on a date with their girlfriends, these three guys. And what they did was each of them, as soon as the guy started shooting the bullets, these three blokes laid down, pushed them girls to the floor and laid down over them and covered them. And as the bullets were going off into the crowd, these three guys got hit several times, each of them, and were killed instantly. But the three women escaped. They survived. These guys literally laid their life down for their friends. They covered them with their love and took bullets for them, died for them. It's exactly what Jesus did for you on the cross and for me. He laid his life down for you. He laid his life down for me on that cross, taking the full wrath of God that we deserve. He covers over us with his love for us. He lays down over us and just covers us with his love and his grace and his forgiveness and dies for us. Absolutely amazing. And lastly, it says, many put their faith in him. Many put their faith in him. What does it mean to put your faith in someone? You know, to put your faith in someone means you're going to follow them. If I put my faith in someone, I'm going to follow that person because they know where they're going. It's not just a case of, oh, yeah, saying, yeah, yeah, great, yeah, I believe, or whatever. But you have to follow that person, to put your faith in them, to follow them. You know, it didn't end at the cross. 3 days later, Jesus rose from the dead. He's alive. He's in this room right now. He's speaking to people in this room right now. You're not here tonight by accident. You're here for one reason, one reason only, because God wanted you here. Someone may have invited you, and that's great, but on a much bigger level than that, the Holy Spirit drew you here to hear this message because he wants you to be saved tonight. Jesus is alive. He searches hearts and minds. He's searching in your heart and mind right now. It's important that you respond to him tonight. Put your faith in him. Follow him. Choose to follow him. You can't follow different people that are going in different ways. If Jesus is over here going this way and someone else is over here going that way, I have to choose. I must choose. I either choose to turn my back on Jesus and follow my sinful life, or I choose to turn my back on my sinful life and follow Jesus. They're the only two options. And I'm doing my bit tonight. I'm telling you about Jesus. You can do what you like, but you have a choice tonight. And when one day when you're at the feet of Jesus Christ, and he'll say to you, remember that night on the 12th of October when that guy told you about Jesus? And if you didn't put your faith in him, then it's a very sad ending for you. But you have a wonderful opportunity tonight to put your faith in him. He absolutely loves you. That's why you're here, hearing this message. Because he loves you and wants to save you and wanted you here. That's why. I went to a ministry school for a year and a half, a couple of years ago in Toronto. And one of my friends there was a guy called Kieran. And he was like really posh guy from Bath down south. And he was an awesome guy. Became really good friends. He was hilarious, you know. But he and I were a little bit different. Yeah, I'm from Borough, just a bloke from Borough, basically. And he was from Bath, very well-spoken. And he was an assistant manager of a really expensive, nice, upper-class restaurant down there. And he would always talk about his nice wines and lovely meals and the presentation and the different decor of restaurants. And I was like, phew. But he was a great guy. He was hilarious. One day, a bunch of us took an overnight bus from Toronto into New York for a long weekend, and we just spent some time together in New York City. And we decided one of the nights we were going to go out for a meal. And you know, some of the guys were saying, oh, yeah, man, let's go to McDonald's. And I was like, no, please no. You know, we're in New York. Why? We don't want to go to McDonald's. And this guy, Kieran, my friend from Bath, he'd heard of a really nice restaurant called La Esquinada or something. No, La Esquinada, a Mexican restaurant. He'd heard of this through someone, you know, through a friend of a friend or whatever, through his very posh friends and restaurant people. And he said, yeah, I've heard of this really nice restaurant down on Lafayette. It's between the center of Lafayette and Central Street, number 140. It's
It's supposed to be really fancy.
I thought, got to be better than McDonald's. So some of them went to McDonald's, but I chose to follow this guy. I thought, I'm going to put my faith in this guy. I'm going to follow him because I think he's going to know where he's going. So I just chose to go with him, and a few of us went with him. We followed him for ages, went out of our hotel, went to Grand Central Station and got on the little train and went on the little train for a couple of miles into somewhere else in New York, and then got off there and got a little taxi cab to somewhere else and to near where it was. And then we walked to this place, and he'd previously booked it, because it was meant to be very posh. And I was taking a bit of a risk. I thought, I'll choose to follow him and go with him. I'm sure he knows what he's doing. And anyway, we get in sight of this restaurant, and I wasn't impressed with the sight of it, to be honest. It looked like just a tacky old diner, like a Mexican little burrito shop. I thought, flipping heck. Wish I'd went to McDonald's, I don't want a burrito or a taco, Anyway, so we goes in this little diner. I was like, oh, flip. So we get in there, and then he sees this woman, this like Mexican woman or whatever who works there. And my mate Kieran says, well, yes, hi, yeah, I've got a reservation for 7:30. And she's like, oh, yes, what's your name? He says, Kieran. So she says, oh, yes, Kieran, yeah, come with us. And she takes him, and we follow her down, and we go up through this door, like through the back of this little burrito shop, through this like no entry door. It's like a secret little restaurant place, So we went through this little no entry door and followed her, and went down these little dark stairs, turned left, down some more little stairs, turned right, along a little corridor, left again, down some more little dark stairs. I was like, wow, this is weird, And then we walked through the kitchen, and there's all these proper Mexican guys in the kitchen, with big mustaches and proper, cooking all this amazing food. Like, where am I, we walked through the kitchen, through the steam and everything, and come out into this like restaurant area, and it was absolutely awesome. It's the best place I've ever eaten in my life. It was themed like a Mexican prison. It was themed as a Mexican prison. It was so cool. And there was like loads of awesome like cocktails behind the bar, and the wine, you'd have a little sip of wine, of a little red wine, and it was like, inside your mouth. I'm sure if you'd have put a camera in my mouth, you would have definitely seen my taste buds doing the conga, hey, it's absolutely gorgeous wine, And then I sat down, and for starters, I ordered ribs for starters, and then they came, and they'd been marinated in something or other, and garlicky, this and that. And as soon as I put one of these ribs in my mouth, and I bit into it, as soon as my teeth pierced the meat, my mouth just watered instantly, and my taste buds were doing the conga inside this like river of water. It was so awesome. It was absolutely gorgeous. The best food I've ever had in my life. It was the best restaurant I've ever been to in my life. Because I chose to put my faith in this guy. I chose to follow him because he knew where he was going. He knew what he was talking about. And I followed him, and it didn't look that nice on the outside. It didn't look like anything special. It's like a diner or a little burrito place or whatever. But under the surface was something very, very special. And, you might be here tonight. You might be like, yeah, church, whatever, it's all right. Looks all right. Rather be in a nightclub or whatever. But, it's not just about the church. Underneath the surface, deep down in your heart, in the hearts of people here, is something very, very special. Something very personal. Someone called Jesus who lives inside of us. Lives inside of me. And he wants to live inside of you and make his home with you tonight. I wonder if that's what you want. I wonder if you're ready to accept him as your savior, as your friend. Put your faith in him. Thank him for what he did on the cross. Thank him for taking that noose off you upon himself, for saving your soul from eternal hell and bringing you into the most wonderful place you can ever imagine, an eternity in heaven with him. An indescribable place of joy.
and awe and just God. I wonder what you want to do tonight. It's only right that we place our faith in him. You know, we can't do it on our own. Many people try and do it on their own and say, oh yeah, well, I've, you know, I'm all right. I'm not a bad person. I'm not a sinner. I'm a good person. You know, I do some good things. But, you know, even our righteous acts are like filthy rags. Even the good things that we do are just so evil in God's sight. We're just so corrupt in our minds and hearts. We don't even know our motives. And we can only place our faith in Jesus. It's the only place we can get salvation. He's the only place you can have your soul saved. He's the only person that can do it, that can take the noose off of our neck. He's the only person. He's the only person. He's the only way. There's some lyrics from a song I heard very recently. It goes like this. You probably have it all figured out, right? Like you're the type that believes that if you act right, then that just might make you righteous in God's sight. You've been a really good person. You followed the good book as much as you could. You probably didn't go to church as much as you should, but it's all good. I mean, you never really killed anybody, never really steal from anybody. You never lusted much or did much touching of anybody's. You never use the Lord's name in vain, and you respect your neighbor. You try to maintain peace, love your enemies, and not hold on to anger. You really believe that you could receive God's favor by your good deeds and right behavior, but you're dead in your transgressions and need a savior. Because you could never win God's approval with the removal of sinful discretions. Your righteous act of removing God's wrath is in fact the biggest misconception. Why don't we stand to our feet? You know, while I've been speaking, the Holy Spirit's been speaking to people. It doesn't matter in one sense what I'm saying. But the Holy Spirit's been speaking to you in your heart. And I want to give you an opportunity now. If you want to put your faith in Jesus, to come to the front. And by doing that, you're saying, you know what, yeah, I'm guilty. I know I'm guilty of sin, and I want to be saved. I want this noose off of my neck. And I want to come to the cross of Jesus tonight. Put my faith in him. Put my hope in him. Thank him for what he did for me on the cross. Choose to follow him, to turn away from the life I've been living, and to follow Jesus, the only person who knows where he's going. He'll take you all the way to the most wonderful place, which is heaven. He'll take you there. Or you can stay where you are, turn your back on Jesus, and carry on living the way you're living. The choice is yours, it's not up to me. I've done my bit, I'm okay. I'm going to heaven because I put my faith in Jesus. It's up to you. But I want to give you an opportunity right now. If that's you, if you know that your life is full of sin, and you want Jesus to forgive you, if you want to experience that feeling of having the noose removed off of your neck, then you come to the front. Don't wait for anybody. Just feel free, just a few small steps out of the darkness and into life with Jesus. I'm not going to rush. Because this is a very, very important moment for some people. There's a massive battle that goes on inside someone's heart at this moment. God bless you. Well done. Is there anybody else? There's more. There's more of you in here that need Jesus as your Savior. Now, the devil doesn't want you to do this because he wants you to stay where you are, because he's a murderer and a liar. So he'll be speaking to you and saying, oh, you're all right. No, don't go, don't go. But just bend to Jesus now. You come and bend to Jesus now. Better to do it now than in the next life.
You have plenty of time. Because I know there's more people in here. This is so important for you. Do not miss this opportunity. You might not get another one. I used to absolutely love myself. I used to think I had it all. I was full of pride and, oh yeah, I absolutely love myself. I had money, I had this, I had that, I had all these things. But then I realized one day that it's my own pride that's just going to kill me. I had to give it up. Give up that pride, that me, that I'm all right, I can do it myself. You can surrender that to Jesus tonight. I'm not going to give it loads more time, just a few more minutes, a couple more minutes, then we're going to move on. If you need to come down here, just come right now. Don't wait, don't hesitate, don't think about it, just come to the cross. Be forgiven. Experience the love of God in his Son. Experience being washed of all that sin, being completely pardoned, completely forgiven. So that when the bottom falls out of this life, there's no noose there. And you're still alive. You'll be with Jesus forever in eternity in the most wonderful place. A place prepared for you since before the world began. If you want to accept that, just come now.